So fear is a natural human response to life, part of our makeup and physiology. So far, so good. Now, when people receive news, of course, about themselves or about their situation, as we know in life, we get all sorts of information coming towards us. So your boss comes in and asks to see you and says, "I'm afraid your job is ending," or, "So now you're out of work." And immediately, most people's common responses are to feel anxious about that, to be fearful. In the same way that when we go and see the doctor and we have a test and he says there's something perhaps that you need to look at, immediately most people's responses is to feel some kind of anxiety. At a more profound level, of course, that when people are confronted with serious health news, so the doctor says, "Unless something happens or unless you are able to take a treatment or unless you are able to lose a lot of weight or some other activity or some other change or some other consequence of your health can take place, unless that can happen, you may be in a serious problem, confronted with your mortality, being ill, and so on." So when we get that kind of information, again, we are put into a responsive state, which is usually around anxiety. This can be very much, the level of that can be very much influenced by the person getting the news and various factors in their life. So we know that when we get information, of course, our minds, the way our minds work, particularly very personal information about us, it of course provokes some kind of response. And that is usually around healthcare challenges, a fear-based or an anxiety-based response. Think also about people who are confronted with having to undertake really very serious changes to their lives. For instance, let's use giving up alcohol. If you're somebody who is habituated to the use of alcohol, and it's crept up and now you're addicted, or you have a dependency on alcohol that is damaging your health, perhaps damaging your relationships. You are confronted again with a lot of situations, information that can create anxiety. For instance, that there may be a breakdown of your relationships, your family, maybe issues around your career or work, which you may still have, but it may be under threat. And then the mere idea of giving up a life that is built or sustained with using alcohol can be extremely anxiety provoking for people, for obvious reasons. So there are a lot of different contexts within which fear arises, anxiety arises. And this fear can become and is often, I would say, almost exclusively the primary motivational direction, if you like, that is present when you start working with someone on this kind of conversation. And in this kind of coaching relationship, your clients, even if they are in a descent phase, so even if we are really coaching them from a preventative perspective, if you remember on the curve, on the shoulder coming down, there is this idea that we can be in conversation with people there where things haven't got too bad. Where perhaps their life is very functional, but there are some signs in their life that if they don't have a response to those signs that is going to move them in a different direction, they are going to struggle to avoid some of the consequences that are going to arise if they carry on as they are. So in that place, there may be very low thresholds of anxiety. So the, if you like, the crisis is quite far off. It's sort of down in the bottom of the trough, if you like. So, though, it, but all the same, there is still a foundational basis there of fear and anxiety being a primary motivator. So, this isn't something that we want to say, or place a judgment on, say is bad or wrong. It's just a fact. It is just part of what arrives, if you like, in your coaching session with your client. Many people will come to their first session with a recovery to wellness coach, and it will be all about you know, this crisis that they're experiencing. They found out this, or this consequence is going to happen to them if they don't find a way out of it. For some people, for instance, in substance misuse and so on, it could be that there are consequences coming for them that they can only avoid if they make a big change in their life. They may have been mandated, for instance, that might have been set out by a court, for instance. So that is extremely motivating in terms of anxiety. They may also be, for some people, issues around the law, criminal behavior, and so on, which also, again, provokes quite a lot of anxiety and fear for people. So pretty much anything can turn up right across all these healthcare challenges. So we want to understand, first of all, in this recovery approach, that this is part of the terrain, that people are going to come bringing some kind of level of this kind of anxiety. So much of the conversation early on can be focused around what your client doesn't want to have happen, the thing that they are trying to avoid. I don't want to become more ill. I don't want this disease to progress. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to cause suffering for my family, my relatives. I don't want to suffer myself. I'm scared, and so on. This is natural expressions of meeting these kinds of things. We know that people are vastly differently resourced in their response to these kinds of situations. Some people are very strong and seem to have an enormous amount of mental resilience. Some of them have a lot of good coping mechanisms or coping mechanisms that allow them to navigate their way through the shock. Some people have a lot of very good defenses, a topic that we're going to look at later on in this module. So, again, it's very much contextual, but there will always be some traces, if not a raging fire, of anxiety or fear present. So your conversation is going to be listening for the things, and you will hear them pretty clearly, about, of the things that they don't want to have happen. Now, we know in the meaning-centered coaching model, and we know from the previous sections, that we are concerned with what it is that drives recovery, what actually moves the recovery process forward over the long term. Now, people who are at the beginning, who are initiating a recovery process, so here I am and I want something to be different and I need to move into recovery process, they will be primarily focused on anxiety, so they will be primarily fear motivated. They will be moving away from something. And that is absolutely understandable and absolutely as it should be. As they move away from something, of course, and particularly if they are successful in moving away from something, the distance between them and the thing which they are moving away from increases. Imagine if you're standing right next to the thing you're really, really scared of, and then you can actually move away from it, so now it's further away. And of course, eventually, the thing that they are very afraid of, perhaps at the beginning of a conversation, beginning of a journey into recovery, becomes almost invisible to them much later on in the recovery. It can almost disappear over horizon. So now, the question arises, what then happens when somebody's fear subsides? When people's anxiety and fear subsides, then that stops, if you like, getting all their attention. That stops being the main thing that they're focused around. The crisis recedes. And at that point, they then start to look around them. And a number of things can happen. One is they revert, which means that they slowly navigate back to behaving, living, and having a life that is pretty similar to the one that they were having or experiencing when they first had this shock. Or they are building a really new life. Now, you can see quite clearly that once somebody has moved away from the thing which scares them, and once they have start to move towards a place where the thing that they were very frightened of is dimming and is reducing into the past, there's a kind of dilemma that arises, which is, what is actually then going to be the way that they move themselves forward from now on in? Now, we know from the meaning-centered model, which I just mentioned, that as coaches, what we are interested in and what we are placing into our coaching conversation, and almost certainly will have placed into the coaching conversation by this point, is the idea of the other motivational direction, if you like, this sort of opposing or opposite motivational direction that exists, that is the way that people actually can move forward in their lives.